Well, if you've been with us for the last few weeks, you know that we've been talking about things that maybe we don't always talk about in church, the things that aren't the easiest things to talk about in church. We've been talking about things like addiction and brokenness and despair. And we talk about these things not because they're taboo and we just want to cause a challenge, but we talk about them because that's where we see God. We see God there in the scriptures, and we see God there in our lives. We talk about these things because when we don't talk about them, we feel like these things are outside of what God is doing. Yet God is wildly at work in our deepest and darkest places, and even in those things that are hard to talk about and easy to hide. So we talk about these things in order to show that they are well within what it means to be in the family of God. And we talk about them because God uses all sorts of people and all sorts of scenarios that we think are unredeemable and unusable. Today we continue that conversation as we talk about the fact that God's family experiences loneliness. Will you pray with me? God, meet us here. God, use the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts to bring glory and honor to your name. Let us be focused on you in this moment. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, words are tricky, right? So I realize that when I say loneliness, it may conjure up different meanings for different people. So in the spirit of transparency and in the spirit of shared understanding, I'd like to offer three different glimpses of loneliness that I'll be talking about today. One is the feeling of being physically alone. One is the feeling that you are the only person that feels a certain way. And one is the feeling that God has abandoned you. And our scriptures did a very good job this morning of giving us glimpses in two of those places. We hear in our gospel reading that Jesus experiences this physical loneliness when the disciples continue to fall asleep. When he needed them the most, he was left alone in a very desperate hour. Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, like you just heard, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." In his moment of despair, in his moment of deep need, he asked those who were closest to him to keep watch, to be with him, and the disciples continue to fall asleep. You heard at the end of the reading that this is actually right before Jesus is handed over to the authorities. Jesus was being betrayed, but he had already felt alone in this moment because no one was with him when he was going through it. And I think when I say loneliness, this type of physical isolation is probably what we think of most when we think of being lonely. Perhaps you felt this way, alone or isolated when you needed to be surrounded by others. But friends, that's not the only type of loneliness that we experience. In the psalm, we heard about this idea of inner loneliness. While we don't know for certain that the psalmist was also experiencing physical loneliness, the main point of the psalm is that the writer feels like they are outcast or left out. The psalmist says that they feel lonely and afflicted. As I was reflecting on it this week, I think it's really important to remember that this psalm, if you go back in your Bible, most of the Bible say Psalm 25 of David, or attributed to King David. This psalm and so many other psalms are attributed to King David. And it's there in the name. David was a king, powerful and important, surrounded by those whose job it was to help him, to support him, to feed him, to dress him. Presumably, the life of a king is one of wealth and prosperity. It's good to be the king, as they say. And yet, in the midst of power and wealth and being surrounded by a drove of people, and aides and consultants and servants, the words that the psalmist used, the words that King David used is lonely and afflicted. Surrounded by people, but all alone. Maybe you felt this way as well. Maybe you felt like you couldn't share who you really are or how you really feel. Even though you're in a room full of people, you can still experience loneliness and isolation. And a third type of loneliness is this idea that God has abandoned you. We see this all throughout Scripture as well, though not any of our readings today. The feeling like God has forgotten us in our suffering and in our despair. We know that when Jesus is dying on the cross, he cries out and he actually quotes Psalm 22. And he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you abandoned me? Why have you left me alone in this place when I needed you most? This is an honest and real question in a moment of desperation, feeling like God wasn't there in a time of need. And it feels tough, like I think about Jesus, it feels tough to have friends abandon you, but it's even tougher to feel like the God of the universe has abandoned us. It's kind of like a physical and a spiritual isolation, as I was thinking about it. And so I offer these three glimpses of us, not to further confuse us about the word, but to show us that loneliness is a much bigger and much more complex issue than we might first think. Amen. It's easy to think that only those who are homebound, or only those who are without a friend in this world, that only those sitting at home by themselves are those who are lonely. Yes, those folks can experience loneliness. It's a population of people that we need to care for, but we all feel lonely at some point, regardless of our age and life circumstance. You may be surprised, I was certainly surprised, to find a study this week that surveyed about 1,300 adults age 18 and up. And this survey found that between the ages of 23 and 38 of the people that they interviewed, those between the ages of 23 and 38, one out of five of those people reported that they had no friends. And one in three of that population, age 23 to 38, reported feeling lonely always or often. Social scientists and researchers are actually indicating that this problem is getting worse and not better. Some social scientists are calling the social media paradox, that we live in a world that is more connected and more enmeshed than it ever has been in the history of our humanity, and yet it's also the time that we feel most isolated and most alone. And this is not just something that we should be concerned about in our heads. There are physical effects of loneliness. Studies have shown that loneliness has the same physical effects on mortality as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. It's more dangerous than obesity and other serious medical conditions. Those who are lonely and isolated are more likely to have heart disease and stroke and have lowered immune systems that can lead to chronic illness. And I don't say this to make us all feel terrible about ourselves or to make us all feel bad about the state of our world. I share this to bring to us reality, that when we are confronted with these statistics, that we ought to respond, but where, friends, does our hope come from? In other words, we're faced with this idea of loneliness, and perhaps we've even touched that loneliness very intimately in our own hearts, but what can we do about this? Well, we can be honest here, and we can say that throughout church history, the global church doesn't always do this well. We don't always know how to help those who are feeling lonely or isolated or depressed. At our worst, the church can be a place where we tell someone to put on a happy face, just to smile and get through it. Fake it till you make it, things will cheer up. We can misstep when we think that community simply happens with the right lights or the best programming or the biggest budgets, and that the best situation for someone who is lonely is simply to come through the church doors. But sometimes, if folks are lonely, these programs and these productions can even feel even more isolating. And folks who might begin to feel lonelier in the pews of a church. But friends, it's not just a church issue, and I think we all know that. Those around the world are trying to find hope in this place too. They're trying to work towards solutions to our loneliness. Many of you may know, but perhaps you don't know, that last year the United Kingdom actually appointed their first Minister of Loneliness to the appointive cabinet. This government appointee was put in place to address the growing problem that I've mentioned before. that more and more people are disconnected. And this person's role, the minister of loneliness, is to ensure that mental health and wellness programs are continually funded, and that those programs are broadcast widely to the community and made available to the public. But the minister of loneliness is also tasked with helping to create more community spaces, art spaces, shared gardens and cafes where people can connect. I kind of gave the church a bad rap just a second ago. We acknowledge that the church can misstep on this issue, but friends, I believe with all that I am that the church is actually the perfect solution to this world problem. We are literally created for community as a church. It's in our DNA. It's who we have been designed to be, and I believe today that our hope lies in the fact that the church has a message for those who are feeling lonely and isolated. Mainly the answer to me, mainly the truth and the hope is the fact that God always meets us in our loneliness. The beauty of the incarnation. The incarnation is core to our faith. The fact that God loved us so much that God became human. That God put on flesh, as one writer of Scripture says, and walked among us. The beauty of the incarnation is this, friends, that there is nothing that you have experienced that God hasn't. We mentioned that Jesus felt alone and isolated in the Garden of Gethsemane. Wherever you are, God has been there. God has experienced it all. Yes, joy and happiness, but also sorrow and betrayal and despair. Jesus experienced the entire range of human emotions, and so we can take comfort that God has been wherever, friends, wherever you are. The second beautiful promise that we're given through God is that God promises that we are never alone. There are times, as the psalmist cries out, that God may feel distant, yet God always promises to be with us and not to abandon us in our loneliness, not in our grief, not in our affliction, and not in our pain. One, God doesn't leave us there because God knows what it's like to be there. And two, God doesn't leave us there because God loves us so much. Many of you are familiar with the name John Wesley. John Wesley was the founder of what became the United Methodist Church. An Anglican priest, a learned scholar, a professor. This guy was way smart. He knew a lot of stuff, and he did a lot of research and writing over his time. And God, John Wesley loved God so deeply and so sincerely. There's a story that goes that when John Wesley was on his deathbed, he was sharing sort of the deepest wisdom that he knew about God. And he's quoted, his last quote is said to be this. He says, "The best of all," and I'm just going to pause there. Imagine what this man could say. The best of all in life is all of these incredible, intelligent, academic thoughts about God. These wanderings that will just inspire your heart and challenge your mind. John Wesley had all of that in his head and in his heart. He could have said nearly anything about these deep, complex truths about God, but this is what he says. The best of all is God is with us. That was it. Of all the deep and powerful truths that this man contained and wrote and that has inspired billions and billions of people, the best of all is that God is with us. Finally, friends, I think we find our hope in the fact that God gives us each other. God gives us the church. God has created a community that is diverse and different. We've asked this question, we've said this before, but what other reason would all of us gather in the same room at the same time each week? We are different, and we have different opinions, and we think different things, and yet we come together because God has called us together. To be the hands and the feet of Christ, which includes caring for those who are lonely and isolated. And friends, I just need to take a moment of privilege here and to say that whereas the global historical church may have not always gotten this right, this vision of beauty and caring for those who are afflicted is one that I get to bear witness to in this congregation every single day. The love and the hospitality that is exuded from these pews is incalculable. Folks who are homebound and in the hospital get cards. They get visits, they get prayers, and they get phone calls. Some of you take communion to our homebound members and those who can't make it to church. We dedicate prayer quilts to those who are lonely and suffering and who need a physical reminder that God is with them. Loneliness, as we've mentioned, is an intergenerational problem, and through ministries like our craft club and our family ministries, we're offering intergenerational places where we can connect and learn with and from each other. This is the work that the church is called to, and this is the work that God is doing in our midst. But those of you who are doing that work, those of you who have done that work, know that it's not always easy work. Many of you know that caring for those who feel isolated is not just about creating a fancy program and hoping that someone shows up. It's about going out and being with those who are feeling separated from their friends and from their loved ones. It's about investing and establishing our lives in the lives of others. It's about going out of our way to check in on folks. It's about pressing a little bit harder when someone says, "Oh, I'm fine," to ask another question. It takes work, but it's work that we are called to do as a church. One beautiful example that I was reminded of this week is through the ministry and outreach of a group called No One Dies Alone. This is a volunteer program that exists in hospitals throughout the country. It started in a Catholic hospital, as I understand it, in Pennsylvania, I believe. But it's all over our country, and it's a very simple idea. The name of the organization is also the mission statement, that no one should die alone. Like I said, it's entirely volunteer-based, and it's this idea that for those who are actively dying and yet those who are far away from family or facing other circumstances, that someone will come and be with them around the clock and sit with them until a family member arrives or until they pass away. I have a very close friend who serves in this volunteer role in downtown Orlando, and he has shared stories about getting calls at 3 a.m. and going to sit by someone who he may not know, certainly doesn't usually know, but someone who may not be able to speak anymore, may not be conscious, a total stranger, and my friend will sit and read to them, talk with them, pray for them. Sometimes he stays until family arrives, like I said, and sometimes he stays until that person breathes their last. He sits there with compassion and love with someone who he has never met before that day, but someone for whom he has great respect and dignity simply because they share humanity. He sits there because no one should die alone. Friends, this is a vision of God's presence to me. This is a vision of what the church is doing and is called to do. So let us recommit ourselves today to continue to do this type of work, the work that we're called to, the work of visiting the lonely and the homebound, the work of showing up. The work that we're called to do is God's big, beautiful family. And you know, the thing about family is that sometimes they show up when you don't want them to. And sometimes they show up when you really need them to. Let's be that kind of family. Let's recognize that there's no place that we can go that is outside of God's Spirit. There's nothing we can think or feel that can ever separate us from God. There's nothing we can do or say, and there's no place that God hasn't already been. So friends, hear me say this, and hear me say this loudly and clearly, that today and each day, that no matter where you are, the best of all is that God is with us. No matter where you are not alone. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.